If you hear about me 20, 25 years from now, don't marvel. You'll see greater things than that. Praise God. All right. I want you to go to the book of Revelation now. The time of the end. Oh, I could extend this. Well, there's no end to it. I want you to go, though, this book of Revelation. There's a lot more in this Bible about this time of the end from the prophets. But I can't dwell there right now. Revelation, the 16th chapter, please. Revelation 16. Now, this is the end. I heard a voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Hey, this is just as the two great prophets were killed that prophesied 3.5 years. Now, when is the end time? The time of the end. When is it exactly identifiable? When those two great prophets is coming, or prophets of restoration of Revelation 11 come, and their dead bodies lie out in the street of Jerusalem 3.5 days, and the world rejoices and sends presents and has another Christmas to make merry and rejoice over those two prophets that tormented them. And while they're looking on the television networks of the world, people are staring intently and rejoicing, a miracle is going to happen. Right in the middle of that festivity, the Spirit of life from God comes down upon them, and life enters into those dead bodies, and them two prophets stand on their feet, and their enemies behold them. They got enemies everywhere. And a voice from heaven says, come up hither. And they start ascending up on a cloud, and that same time, a great earthquake strikes this earth. And people died right there in front of their eyes like flies as they watch God's masterpieces ascend back to where they came from. Boy, their ministry entered in a blaze of glory, ended, and there's millions on this earth that were turned back to God and saved just before God's wrath. That's when Jesus comes. All right, now, God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God hath not saved us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going through the wrath of God, but we are going through the tribulation and the judgments of God. But Jesus is going to come just before the wrath of God, the time of the end and its devastations. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. All right, notice here, and I'm going to paraphrase it quickly. Verse 2. The first poured out his vial on the earth, and there fell this terrible noisome and grievous sore. Noisome. That means one of these old sores that's running, that's infection, that's incurable, and grievous. You ever seen people dying with cancer or some related disease? God, have mercy. Just no intermission. That old juice just coming all out. I visited a brother here in town some time ago, a backslidden preacher. There he was. His wife had gone to work, and he was alone. I went with this pastor that knew him. And the pastor said, brother, show Brother Pringle what sin brought to your life while you were backslid. This is what God put on you to chasten you back to the Lord. He moved that gauze on his left side. The hole was here, but the cancer was way down in here. That old emission just coming out, corruption. That's what you call noisome. He patted it. He said with tears, he said, brother, God put this on me to chase me back to God. Said, I've been lost. My wife and I, if this hadn't come on me, this is because God loves me. I'm glad that man had some sense. Wasn't one of these foolish people. God will do anything to keep a fellow out of hell. Cancers don't move some people. They die like a fool. Like these people, AIDS. Why did God do this to me? You get out here and live like an alley cat, you shouldn't be surprised if something terrible comes on you, should you? Why should you be surprised? Be sure your sin will find you out. God don't do anything to anybody just to punish them in this life. He does it to try to chasten them back to a consciousness that they're lost and that they'll repent and turn to God. Hell's bad enough. Why do you want to torment them here for? If any torment or any punishment comes, it's try to chasten them back to repentance. All right, that's what God's doing here. Or what he's done in his judgments here, now he's putting this on those that worship the Antichrist in his image. They're getting this sore on them. The second angel poured out his vial on the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and everything in the sea died. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood, and God gave men everywhere blood to drink. And why did he do it? Verse 6, they shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you've given them blood to drink, for they're worthy to drink blood. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the sun scorched men, and they blasphemed God. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the Antichrist, or the beast, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and that river was dried up to prepare the way of the kings of the east. Then he saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. That's the devil. Out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist. And out of the mouth of the false prophet, that's the preacher that goes right along with the Antichrist. They're the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. World War III, the climactic, the final. Terrible. God, have mercy, a fiery, destructive overthrow of the nations, armies of this world in a climactic battle called Armageddon, where the blood will run to the horse bridles. You find that in the last two verses of Revelation 9. All right, listen to the warning the Lord puts in the midst of this wrath. He said, behold, verse 15, I come as a thief, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Verse 17, the seventh angel poured his vial in the air. And there was a great voice came from heaven, along with thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake, so great an earthquake and so mighty that it wasn't since men were upon the earth. And the great city was struck, divided into three parts. And all the cities of the nations fell. The Empire State Building, the Sears Building in Chicago. I watched them build that. I was up in Chicago during that time preaching. I went down there and watched them in 1968. Told them, I said, that thing gonna fall. I'd walk around there and tell them builders, they look at me. I said, yeah, it's gonna fall right out in that lake. It is. Not very far off either. All these others are gonna fall. And great Babylon came in remembrance. That's the world church. Every island fled. Every mountain was not found. And there fell upon men out of heaven a great hail. And every hailstone weighed about a talent. That's about 75 pounds. Chunks of ice coming out of heaven. And they blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. There wasn't nothing left worth saving when God got through with that outpouring of those seven vials of his wrath. You talk about a planet that don't look like it does now, look like it did back there after Noah's flood. Devastation, destruction. Then God's going to come. Jesus is going to come with his armies of heaven, set up his government. It's going to be an agrarian economy. Won't have no none of these high rises and super highways and motor cars and all kind of problems with noxious gases. Going to be horses, chariots, walking. Praise God. Going to be a wonderful time when Jesus comes back.